My topic for this morning is hope, the anchor of our soul. And at school where I work, we're busy with the honoring night on the same theme. So this thing has really been something that I've been meditating on for quite a bit. So I want to start with Hebrews 6 verse 19. And those who were here last week will remember on my communion message, I used the same scripture. In the NIV, it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And the Message Bible just says it so beautiful. So I just want to add it here from verse 18 to 20. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. So this scripture has really just stirred my heart. So this morning, I want us to have a look at this hope. If you go into a bookstore, a Christian bookstore, you will find a lot of material on faith, and you'll find a lot of material on love. But hope is something that I think is not spoken of often enough. And we say that we put our hope in God. We say we trust in God, but do we really? The moment you're in your circumstances and you look around you, we often put our hope in our employer for a salary. We put our hope in the doctor who's supposed to give us a cure for whatever is wrong with us. And we run to the things of this world to try and get something that we can hold on to that will give us a little bit of hope. We all need hope. Have you ever come across somebody that is hopeless, that has lost all hope, that absolute despair? Quibus had a stage he worked with the people on street, and that's the one thing that he said he could see time and time again, that these people have reached the point of no hope. They have lost all hope. So this morning my question to you is, where is your hope? The opposite of hope is hopelessness and despair. Basically, you're unable to see a way out. And if you look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God doesn't say we're not allowed to be rich. He doesn't say we must all be poor, but he does say, do not put your hope in your riches. Do not put your hope in the things of this world. You see, as long as we put our hope in the uncertainties of this world, we'll always be disappointed somewhere or the other, because it's limited to what man can do. So we need something that will be like an anchor in a storm, something that will hold us fast so that we won't go drifting this way and that way, looking, hurrying, scurrying from one person to the other, from one doctor to another, from one financial advisor to another, to try and find something to just give us something to hold on to. We need an anchor that is secure, that is always there, that is always trustworthy, and that will actually be able to hold us when we're in that storm. You see, faith and hope is inseparable. Without hope, you cannot have faith. Why do I say that? If you look at Hebrews 11 verse 1, which is the definition of faith, it says that now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. So if you have nothing that you're hoping for, how can you put your faith out for that thing that you're hoping? We need hope to be able to have faith. It's the conviction of things not seen. So what's the difference between the English vocabulary, the word hope? If we use it in our everyday language, we often use it in a sentence like, well, I don't know if I can come, but I hope to be there. Or I really hope that today you know, would be a good day, or whatever the case might be. So it's almost a thing that is distinguished from certainty. It's when we're not certain that we use the word hope. Okay, but that's not the definition that the Bible puts to hope. If the Bible speaks of the word hope, hope is not wishful thinking at all. That hope, that Christian hope, is when God has promised that something is going to happen. And then we put our trust in that promise. Christian hope is a confidence that something will happen because God said it will. And that is not uncertainty at all. That is a firm something to hold on to. I did a little bit of research on hope, and I scratched around in some psychology sites and stuff to look for what would they say would cause hopelessness, what causes despair. And there's basically four categories that I have managed to sort of group it into. The first is rejection or forsakenness, that feeling of being abandoned in your time of the biggest need. That feeling maybe of not being worth of the love and the care that you would expect somebody to give you because they've rejected you. And even Job, if you read the book of Job, Job came to a place of almost hopelessness because he spoke about that even God has forsaken him. That can cause a feeling of hopelessness. The second category is a feeling of powerlessness or helplessness in a situation. That thing of, I'm not in control anymore. There's nothing that I can actually do to change the situation. It's when you feel incapable of navigating your way towards a desired goal. And that leaves you vulnerable because it's nothing you can do about it. So that causes hopelessness. Then you've got oppression and captivity. So that's the feeling of being pressed down or downtrodden. Now, that can be in the physical or in the spiritual. They say that often prisoners would fall into a state of hopelessness because of the captivity that they're under. Children at school or even adults that's being bullied will experience that sense of hopelessness because they're downtrodden, they're oppressed in a way. But that's not just for the physical. In the spiritual, we have that as well, that Satan tries to oppress us. He tries to put stuff on us that will keep us down, that will keep us from actually experiencing God's joy and being able to put our faith out. Because he is suppressing us, oppressing us, keeping us in bondage because of some other reason. That causes hopelessness. And then the other one is battle weariness. That thing of after fighting a battle for a long time, putting out your faith and trying and trying and trying and repeated failures, and then hopelessness starts to set in. There's no hope for the situation. But I've got good news this morning. Our hope is secure. The hope that we have is an anchor to our soul. It's not an anchor that's going to let go. So why is this hope so important? Firstly, if our future is not secured and satisfied by God, who we know will not let us go, then we are going to become excessively anxious. That anxiety that is caused by that feeling of, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go, that anxiety sets in. And the result of this excessive anxiety is it results in a thing that we call paralyzing fear. So it's almost that fight and flight scenario, that paralyzing fear that causes you to absolutely withdraw and do nothing, just sit, lost hope, I'm not going to fight anymore, so you lose your fight. Or it manifests itself in some sort of a self-managed greediness for control, that you become overly almost like a control freak because you want to be able to steer the direction of where this thing is going. And if we get into that state of greedy control, we end up thinking about ourselves. I think about my future. I think about my potential. I think about my problem. And in the end, it keeps me from loving others. Because now I'm only focusing, it's almost like a survival mode, trying to get myself out of the situation. And then you can't love others. And in fact, I think it can even hinder your loving of God in the way that you really should. You see, because our faith is motivated by hope. If we look at 1 verse 3, it says, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. So look at this. Their good work that they do is produced by faith. Your labor is prompted by love. And your endurance is inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The three goes together. That's why in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, and therefore you have these things, faith, hope, and love. And there's a number of scriptures that I can show you where it combines those three together. And you can't have one without the other one. They work together. No faith, no hope. And if you have no faith, then you get that in James 1, verse 6, where it says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown, tossed and fro. And that's why you start running from one person to another, asking advice here, asking advice there, going to a different doctor, trying all kinds of things, because you don't have your hope and your faith set on the one who actually should. Right. Why hope is important? Hope makes you ill as well. We see that in scriptures. If you are losing hope, makes you ill. So in Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. So the opposite of being hopeless, if you have hope, you like a tree of life. And I believe if you're a tree of life, then you have fruit that others can enjoy, and you will start to spread that hope. We're looking at a whole theme this year at school, talking about words of life. And this is where I sort of link this whole theme together, and I say, if I can speak life into your life, that will start to spark hope. It's like a seed that's planted of hope. And once that seed of hope is planted, then you can start to have faith. You have something to put your faith down on because you've got that hope. So as we have hope, we become a tree of life that others can actually eat from. But without it, we become sick. It makes your heart sick. Depression and those kind of stuff makes your heart sick. Ezekiel 37 verse 11 says, because of the fact that there was no hope, the bones were dry, dryness of bones. It manifests in a physical way in your body. And then if you just read through the book of Job, it says, without hope, life loses meaning. So Job was at a point where he said, why all of this? Even if you go and read Lamentations, it's almost like this thing of, what's the point of all of this? But you need hope. Another reason why hope is important is because hope strengthens us and it enables us to continue even beyond the point that we think we would have been able to carry on. In Isaiah 40 verse 31, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Just that endurance. Remember just now I said the endurance. The other verse, where is it now? That their endurance was because of hope. And then the last reason I want to mention is it gives you confidence in God's protection and in His provision for your life. We can then live a life free from anxiety. If you look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that's very well now. I know the plans you have for me. It plans for a hope and a future. So it enables us to actually put our confidence in God's plan for my life because I know that God has got me. Okay. So what is this hope that I'm talking about? This hope that Christians have that other people don't have. And I want to say you can summarize this hope in one word. It's Christ. Okay. It is rooted in faith in the divine salvation that we have through Christ. If you look at Colossians 1 verse 5, it says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love, look at, it's all bundled together again, the faith and love that spring from the hope that's stored up in you, stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. So it says, where does this hope come from? It comes from the true message of the gospel. That's where it comes from. That's where it's rooted. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Without Christ, we have no hope. Because Christ is giving us a future. Hope will be able to give you a future. Christ gives us our future. Without hope, there's no meaning to life, no future. Without Christ, what is the meaning of my life in any case? Okay, that eternal future that we have because of Christ, I've got a bunch of scriptures there. I'm not going to read all of them because you're going to get tired of all the scriptures that I read. So I've just mentioned it as a reference. You're welcome to go and look it up. But it talks about our eternal future. It is the future hope of the resurrection of the dead. The fact that we can know that if somebody dies on earth, it's not the last time we're going to see them. One day, the dead is going to resurrect. Okay, the second one, the redemption of the body and of the whole creation, that everything can be made new. Yes, everything is fallen. God created it good, but everything is fallen. It got ruined in the process. We are ruined because of sin. But this hope that we have tells us that there's going to come a time when our bodies and this whole creation is going to be resurrected. It's going to be made new. Our eternal glory, Colossians 1 verse 27, because of our glory which is Christ in you. Eternal life and the inheritance of the saints. The fact that we know that if we die today, it's not the end. We are actually going to live forever with Christ. The return of Christ, knowing that Jesus said, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come again. And then our transformation into the likeness of Christ, knowing that I don't have to stay the person that I am. It doesn't matter how bad person I am. It doesn't matter what I've done wrong. There's no sin too big for what Christ has done for us. There's no sin too big for Christ to be able to resurrect you out of that mess. And that's transformation and becoming more and more like Christ. So how do I build this hope? What can I do? So now I'm at a point and I say, okay, I want this hope. What can I do to build this hope in me? And the first thing, as I said, hope is summed up in one word, which is Christ. So I need to take up the helmet of salvation. I need to make sure that my life with God is right. Once I've got my salvation in place, I already have this hope. And then watch what you're thinking. I know Kubus at a stage, if stuff is going wrong, he'll just say, so what are you thinking about? And you know what you're thinking about? You're thinking about your problem. You're thinking about the mess that you're in, or you're thinking about this situation that is difficult to unravel. That's not what you should be thinking on. You should be meditating on God's word. What does God's word say about this matter? What does God's word say about this illness that the doctor says they don't have any help for? What is God's word on my financial situation? What is God's word on my marriage and my relationship with my husband or wife? What does God say? And that's what we need to meditate on. Then we need to stand on God's promises and know that in Christ they are yes and amen, because he's our hope. And you won't be able to stand on God's promises, if you don't know his promises. So if you're not going to spend time with God and time in his word, how would you know what promises to stand on? And then we don't look at our circumstances, because often the moment that you decide, I am now going to put my faith out and my hope is in God, then stuff gets worse than they are. It just works like that, because Satan wants to prove you wrong. Okay? So I don't look at my circumstances, because here's the thing, hope is something we do in stuff that we cannot see. You don't hope for something that you can see. That's not hope. It says it so nicely in Romans 8, verse 24 to 25. It says, for in the hope we were saved, now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. So I don't see it, but it's okay. I know it's coming. I'm waiting for it. I love God's Quivers' attitude about the rain. Everybody says, oh, we're doomed. There's no rain. It's terrible. Quivers just says, but it's coming. Then they get upset. But there's no rain. The dams are empty. He says, but it's coming. Okay, where's your hope? What are you saying? What are you thinking about? Right. And then the last thing that builds hope, and this is the one that we don't want to know about. The others are good. We can do that. I can meditate on God's word. I can read his promises. I can stand on it. I'll try not to look at my circumstances. And then comes this one. Hope is produced by endurance through suffering. Because I said, don't look at the circumstances and wait patiently. That wait patiently means enduring through the suffering. Okay. Romans 5 verse 2 to 5 says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because, why do we glory in our sufferings? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So yes, the tough times, that time that you have to endure, it's going to build hope. Because at the end of it, if you're going to look back, you're going to say, you know what? It was rough. The storm was really rough. It didn't change the storm, but I was anchored, firm and secure. And God had me all this time, and I came through, and the storm is over. And I'm okay. Right? So in conclusion, I want to leave this with you. Along with faith and love, hope is an enduring virtue of the Christian life. And love springs from hope. In fact, love and faith springs from hope. Hope produces joy and peace in believers through the power of the Holy Spirit. I quickly want to stand there. Have you lost your joy? Is it because you have lost your hope? Because if we have hope, we can be joyful even in the storm. We can keep that joy. And that's often what makes Christians different from other people. If you sit among people and you share your story and they're like, that's a terrible situation that you find yourself in, but why are you so joyful? Now, the people of the world can't understand it. Why are you so joyful even in spite of the fact that you're going through a storm? It's because of this hope. We find our hope in Christ alone. So this morning I want to say, if you don't know Christ, you're not going to have this hope. You have to start with Christ first. Okay? And then you need to build this hope. You need to be meditating on God's word, and you need to be standing on his promises as you meditate on those promises. And then to remember that tough times can build you or break you. Remember I said sometimes if the fight goes on for too long, you become battle weary, and that causes hopelessness. That's going to be you making that decision. Am I going to allow the tough circumstances to break me, or am I going to allow it to build me? And the difference is only going to be where your focus is. If your focus stays on God, then tough times will actually build your hope.